The United States is under the gun tonight, at least multiple southern states, for what could be long-track tornadoes, damaging winds, and large hail. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the world's largest volcano, after 38 years of dormancy, has just erupted in Hawaii. Crypto founder has just been found dead in his sleep. And the FDA has just approved lab-grown meat for human consumption. That's the topics that we're going to discuss on tonight's ETH Viewpoint. Let's get after it.
When things are shifting, there's gonna be a new world order out there. We've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And tonight, it is November 29th. You are getting this broadcast live. At least you guys on Facebook, on YouTube, it is around 7 p.m. Eastern. At the time of this recording in our studio, it is around 1 p.m. Eastern. So our first topic of discussion may be already underway, especially if you live in parts of the southern parts of the United States. What am I talking about? The National Weather Service has put out a warning for what could be strong, long-track tornadoes, damaging winds, and large hail that is threatening multiple states in the United States. According to the Weather Channel, they're predicting that this very well could erupt later today. Now, again, at the time of this recording, this is 6 hours before this goes live, so this could already be underway.
And then there's a likely severe weather outbreak across the Mid-South and the Gulf Coast states, and tornadoes could be prevalent as well. A Torcon as high as a 7, so what that means is a high tornado risk for us tomorrow when the numbers 7, 8, 9, or 10, and a rare November event playing out for us. If you take a look at the hour-by-hour timing, you'll see the storms midday through the afternoon, through the evening, a nighttime threat in many locations. Those storms racing their way eastbound, so even in the early hours of Wednesday, affecting morning commuters in places like Atlanta, so everyone needs to be heads up.
So we just want to give you that update so you guys will be aware of what's going on in your area. Now, you probably are asking yourself, why are you talking about this? Well, two reasons. One is we want to give people a heads up and a warning. Because we care about people here. This is a ministry, after all. Number two, this is an unusual event. We're not in the spring where tornadoes are prominent, where they are predictable, and where they are where there's a normalcy of tornadoes and an outbreak during the spring season that we typically deal with. But we're at the end of November, knocking on the door of December. So this is an unusual event here. And I hope this is not a precursor of more of this stuff to come when we actually get into the spring months or the spring season, rather, of 2023. Now, I want to move on. I want to talk about our next topic here. The world's largest active volcano in Hawaii just erupted after a dormant space of 38 years. Now, according to the reports, the last eruption took place in 1984.
Earth's largest active volcano is erupting on Hawaii for the first time in nearly four decades. The sky, as you see, glowed a bright orange color as hot lava spilled over Mauna Loa's summit. Now, scientists say this is not threatening any populated areas yet, but the volcanic ash cloud could make it harder for some people to breathe. Carter Evans has the latest on this eruption.
New video shows fountains of lava spewing from Mauna Loa, forming rivers of molten rock flowing down the world's largest active volcano. Thermal imaging shows the moment it roared back to life, ending a nearly 40-year dormancy. Residents on Hawaii Island woke up to the fiery sight Sunday night after a series of large earthquakes.
And also the ground started swelling outward from the volcano.
So you knew this was coming?
We knew it was coming. We just didn't know that it was going to be in the middle of the night after Thanksgiving weekend.
But any threats to the community could be weeks away.
People will have plenty of time to evacuate if that's needed.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
The last time Mauna Loa erupted was in 1984. Lava flowed within 5 miles of Hilo, the island's most populous town. The nearly 14,000-foot volcano is just miles from Kilauea. It's smaller but much more active, and it's been erupting for decades now.
You can see it just launching lava up into the air.
We were there in 2018 when massive lava flows wiped out hundreds of homes.
That is a huge, huge lava front there.
When it was over months later, the island was nearly 900 acres larger. For now, the only threat with this eruption is volcanic smog and ash, leaving residents with a front row seat to nature's beauty.
Officials have told people living on Hawaii's Big Island to be, quote, ready in the event of a worst-case scenario. Some are cautiously waiting for lava flows and have been told to be ready to evacuate if necessary. The eruption wasn't immediately endangering towns, but the U.S. Geological Survey warned that roughly 200,000 people, and that was the number I was looking for, on the Big Island to be ready again in the event of a worst case scenario or be ready to evacuate at a moment's notice. Again, the last eruption back in 1984 of this volcano lasted more than 2 weeks, but did not flow into any of the island's communities. We can only pray and hope that that's not what happens with this eruption. Now, this to me, this is intriguing, and it's interesting because if we go into the scriptures, again, if you go into Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30, you will discover there in that scripture that the prophet Joel said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was speaking through him, that in the last days, prior to the coming of the Lord, on the earth, there would be events that would take place, which he described as blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. And many scholars will agree that this is a depiction of volcanic eruption. So, again, we're talking about the world's largest volcano that was dormant for 38 years has now erupted. Is this a possible indicator that we're going to see more volcanoes begin to erupt as we get into 2023? I'm not saying that we will, but I'm saying this could be a beginning event. This could be a precursor to show us that there's going to be more volcanic eruptions take place. Now, you guys have heard me talk about this, and I want to point this out again. And some of our veteran followers of our ministry, you've heard me elaborate on this probably several times throughout the years in different podcasts. But if you go, one of the, I guess, I would call it one of the best depictions of birth pangs dealing with the earth and God's creation is found in the book of Romans chapter 8. I know it's a weird place to find this, but it's there. It's in Romans chapter 8. Let me just read this. This is from the Apostle Paul. For I consider that the sufferings, and now this is Romans 8:18 for you guys that are wanting to follow along with this, that are listening by Spotify and podcast. This is Romans 8:18. and I will read forward on this, and we'll probably go around verse 23 is probably where we'll stop. All right, so here we go. For I consider, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation. Now, he's not just speaking here in terms of humanity, but now he he lumps all of creation into this letter that he's writing to the book of Romans, or to, I'm sorry, the church in Rome, in the book of Romans, what we would later on call the book of Romans. He says, for the creation, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So without going real deep into this, all of creation went into what we would call a curse. Now, why did this happen? It came through the fall of Adam, through the fall of mankind. Earth began to produce thorns and thistles. And if you really get into this and you start studying the book of Genesis, go all the way back, and you'll discover that in the beginning of creation, God never mentioned eating of animals or eating of the flesh. But because of the fall of humanity, the fall of Adam, God, then we see the introduction to the eating of flesh. Now, God did make a distinction between clean and unclean. You can find that in your own time in the book of Leviticus, where he talks about the Levitical dietary laws. But again, through the fall of Adam, we saw that not only would there be consequences like man shall continually work by the sweat of his brow, and women, there would be pain and anguish that would be involved in childbirth. We see all that. But also, again, all of creation was subjected to this. Even the serpent, whom the Bible calls, he was the most cunning creature. Did you know that there has been fossils that have been discovered in which there was the fossils of snakes or serpents that actually had legs, and these serpents actually stood up on their hind legs at one time? This would explain why the serpent was in the garden and it walked among Adam and Eve and it spoke to them. Another thing that happened, and this was documented by historical accounts and writers such as Josephus, where they discuss in detail about before the fall of Adam, that even the animal kingdom was able to speak, and Adam and Eve could communicate with the animals because they could speak in languages that we understood. But when the fall of Adam came, God stripped them of this ability. Now we see this in more detail when you go to the book of Genesis chapter 11, when we see the introduction of the Tower of Babel. God comes down and he confounds the languages and disperses them abroad. But watch this. All of creation is subjected to futility. Verse 21 of Romans 8, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Come on, somebody. We're going to see a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. Come on, aren't you excited about that? Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Again, all of creation, groaning, birth pangs. This is echoed in the Gospel of Luke when it talks about the signs of the coming of the Lord, and the Gospel writer describes this as a woman in travail. That's a, that Greek word travail means labor pangs. You go to, what is it, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, somewhere in the writing to the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Church of Thessalonica, he talks about birth pangs, as in regards to when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman in labor or birth pangs. In other words, it will start out slowly, and it will be tolerable, but it will increase in magnitude and intensity until the delivery. That's the illustration here, the depiction. The whole creation is groaning. I want you to think about this concept. So let me get, so here, now you say, well, what's this got to do with volcanoes, Brother Ricky? Listen. As the earth continues to travail, as we get closer and closer to the delivery, which is the return of the Son of Man from heaven, come on, you are going to see an increase of earthquakes and volcanoes. Why? Because the earth itself is in travail. It's groaning. And it is... And it's, why is it groaning? Because it knows, all of creation knows that the deliverance of the bondage of corruption is at hand. Come on. So I believe as we get closer to the return of the Son of Man from heaven, the Son of God, that we do not know the day nor the hour, correct? Yes, that's what the Bible says. The angels in heaven do not know, not even the Son, but the Father only. That means we, no mortal man on earth, knows the day nor the hour, but we will know the signs of his coming. And I believe one of the signs of his coming is if we will just keep our eyes on what's going on around the world. When we start seeing this increase of volcanic eruptions, increase of earthquakes, because it's interesting when you read the writings, when you go to Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, it talks about earthquakes in various places, but then you get further and you go to places like Luke 21 and the writer says there will be great earthquakes. And again, so you go from normal earthquakes, and that's what's going to be the argument that you're always going to get from the scientists and from the seismologists and the atheists and the agnostics that will always argue with you and say that there has always been earthquakes since the beginning of time, and they are correct. But again, the writer mentions great earthquakes. That is megos in Greek, and that's megaquakes, or what we get where we talk about these megaquakes, these earthquakes that are so large that they are abnormal, unusual, unprecedented, record-breaking, historical. That's what we're talking about. We get into that level of that. And when you read portions of scripture that talks about in the future, it talks about in Ezekiel 38, 39, there is a great earthquake that takes place there. And in my opinion, a volcanic eruption. I'll let you read that in your own time. You read Revelation chapter 11, when the revealing of the two witnesses come to play, they are murdered by the Antichrist and they're raised from the dead. And when that happens, there is a great earthquake, same Greek word, megos. There's a great earthquake that takes place in the city of Jerusalem and it kills thousands of people. These things have not happened in our lifetime, but they will happen. And so, and again, as we pointed out here, the prophet Joel said that there will be blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. And let me read this. I'm going to go back up here. He said this will happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So this earth, or this, and by the way, there was, before this volcanic eruption in Hawaii, there was a seismic earthquake swarm that took place. So this kept going, and we knew. I think we reported on this, what, several weeks ago. We said, keep your eye on this volcano because there were signs that it was about to erupt. So again, we'll keep our eyes open, but look for 2023. Let's just keep our eyes on volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and let's see if this begins to intensify. Speaking of things intensifying, I want to get to our next topic, and that is the increase of young people, not just people in general, but younger people in their teens, early 20s, early 30s. What do you consider young? I'm 45, going on 46 years of age, and I still consider myself young. We're seeing an increase of young people dying, quote, unexpectedly, or quote, suddenly. Now, let's not be ignorant here. We know what is going on. There are voices that are warning people and sounding the alarm of what's going on, but they're being snuffed out, silenced, censored, banned, shut down, removed. But yet, every day, we hear more and more and more of these stories like I'm about to share with you right here. Speaking of getting older, I have two pairs of glasses, one for seeing far away and one seeing up close. Come on, you got to love it. 1010 Coolander, or known as TT, who was the co-founder of Hong Kong-based digital asset company Amber Group, died unexpectedly last week in his sleep. He was only 30 years of age. According to the report, the company confirmed the news in a statement saying that TT had passed away unexpectedly in his sleep on November 23rd, just a few days ago. Very sad, right before Thanksgiving. They considered him to be a, quote, instrumental to the founding of Amber and a pillar of success, the company said, adding that he was, quote, widely recognized as a pioneer for the industry. 1010 started the company in 2017 with a group of financial experts from two institutions where he had been previously employed, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, Bloomberg News reported. Now, most of you guys, unless you're been living under a rock somewhere, you know that Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, all this is all under, it's been all over the news lately with the host, the scandal going on there, the corruption going on there. There is a mass exodus out of cryptocurrency going on. And by the way, the U.S. government is making a shift towards digital currency. Now, in light of all this, we have the co-founder of this digital asset company, Amber Group, who 30 years of age. I mean, you could only dig so much on this guy, but to me, he looked healthy. I didn't see, to my knowledge, there was no pre-existing conditions underlying reason why he should have died unexpectedly. According to a statement, quote, TT was a devoted husband, a loving father, and a fierce friend. His passing is a tragedy, and our thoughts and prayers are with his family. He is survived by his wife and their beloved son. We kindly request that you respect their privacy during this difficult time. Now, again, the New York Post, reported that 1010 had earned a highly sought after spot on Forbes 30 under 30 list back in 2019, and that Amber had reached a valuation of $3 billion earlier this year. Again, it appears anyway that they're not giving any more details on this. Will there be an autopsy? I don't know. If the family request it, I'm sure there will be, but will we ever hear the results of the autopsy and the reason or the official cause of death? Probably not. I'm just saying, a lot of these guys, you could pull up died suddenly, dying unexpectedly, and you start digging and you try to find why they passed away. No information is disclosed. No further information was revealed. It is not known. It is not disclosed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, here we are on the 29th of November of 2022. Another day, another young person has died, quote, unexpectedly. No known reason, no known cause. But guys, this reeks of suspicions, and I don't want to get, I can't get too deep into that because I want to be able to keep this podcast out there. You do your own research, you do your homework. I'm just telling you that this is something that we need to be paying attention to. And I don't think that the number of young people passing away like this is going to suddenly just stop. I think we're going to see it more and more and more globally. It's going to continue going on. Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, let me get to our last story. Actually, it's two stories. We're going to put them in one. The good old FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, just made headlines recently when they approved lab-grown meat for human consumption. Come on. How many is super excited about lab-grown meat? I mean, I don't know about you, but man, I'm going to have to cut the podcast short because my mouth is watering over the very thought of lab-grown meat.
Would you eat lab-grown chicken? Well, an unprecedented move by the FDA last week could change how we consume meat. We spoke with the founder of Upside Foods, the company at the forefront of this.
The fact that FDA greenlit Upside Foods cultivated chicken to move forward to coming to market is something that's never happened in the history of humanity.
Uma Valetti is the CEO and founder of Upside Foods, a California-based company behind the first lab-grown meat to receive FDA clearance, bringing it one step closer to U.S. grocery stores and restaurants.
FDA agreed with our assessment that cultivated chicken is safe to eat.
But what is it?
We'll take high-quality cells from a chicken or an egg, and we grow them with highly nutritious feed, which has a combination of proteins and fats and sugars and vitamins and minerals. But we don't have to raise and slaughter a chicken for it.
Valetti, a cardiologist who worked at the Mayo Clinic, says he stopped eating meat in medical school when he saw the detriment of mass meat production. But then he saw an opportunity for a slaughter-free option.
During my work in cardiology, we were working on stem cells and injecting them into patients' hearts to regrow the heart muscle. And that's where this idea came from of, could you grow meat directly from animal cells? And if so, what would that mean for the world? It has significantly lower environmental impact, which means less downsides, less greenhouse gas emissions, less water pollution, and also, really importantly, I think less use of energy for making the same amount of meat in the world.
With explosive population growth and global demand for meat expected to double in the next 30 years, Valetti believes a lab-grown option that takes 2 to 3 weeks as opposed to months or years to make is the innovative solution we need.
We're looking forward to a future where we can produce very large quantities of meat without having the downsides of intense animal agriculture.
Investors include top meat producer Tyson, Bill Gates, Richard Branson, and entrepreneur Kimball Musk, who earlier this year cooked and ate the cultivated chicken on stage at the prestigious Life Itself Health Conference. Valetti says you too may be able to cook this meat at home within months.
The next step is for the USDA to inspect our production facility in California and also give us a label.
And if this doesn't make you salivate, then another story I'm getting ready to share with you from the Washington Post will definitely do you in. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or the, quote, FDA, for the first time cleared a meat product grown from animal cells for human consumption. The agency announced on Wednesday, Upside Foods, which is a company that makes cell-cultured chicken by harvesting cells from live animals and using the cells to grow meat in stainless steel tanks, will be able to bring its products to market once it has been inspected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And I don't know about you, but that really makes me sleep better at night because, you know, they're always on top of things over there at the Department of Agriculture. Anyway, they released a statement from the FDA, quote, the world is experiencing a food revolution, in case you didn't know that, and the FDA is committed to supporting innovation in the food supply, even as far as lab-grown meat. This was according to the FDA commissioner, and the director of the FDA Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition in a statement. The FDA revealed in documents released on Wednesday that it had reviewed data from the company and had no further questions. Well, I'd like to know how many questions they had about lab-grown meat. I mean, how healthy could it be to grow meat in a lab? Really? I mean, we had... That wasn't like first on the list. Let me read this again. The FDA revealed in documents released that it had reviewed data from the company, had no further questions about the company's conclusion that its product is safe for humans to eat. But then again, we're talking about, I'm talking to Americans here, which, you know, I'm not saying you guys do this, because I'm sure you've never eaten anything like a McRib sandwich at McDonald's. I don't know about you, but I just met a hunter the other day, and he was sharing with me how that he wasn't really into shooting deers or squirrels or rabbits, but he loved the meat from a McDonald's McRib sandwich. And I asked him, I said, well, what is the meat from a McRib sandwich? And I didn't get any further in that because they can't reveal that secret. Have you ever heard of pink slime? So here in America, this may not be a big issue because people are consuming stuff that is quote unquote meat every day from all kinds of restaurants that probably isn't really meat. I mean, I'm not going to mention names, but certain fast food restaurants was under the gun several years ago when they were serving something that was supposed to be a certain kind of meat, but then under investigation, they discovered it wasn't really that meat. And it was meat that wasn't even on the menu of the restaurant. I mean, seriously? So are we really shocked that the FDA would approve this? I mean, I'm not. Well, we are thrilled at FDA's announcement, said David Kay, Upside's director of communications, in an email. Quote, this historic step paves the way for our path to market. So this historic step, lab-grown meat, is paving the path to you and I going to the grocery store and we look and we can't find real meat anymore. Not from a cow, not from a chicken, not from a turkey, but we have Beyond Beef, Beyond Meat. Don't even get me started on if you pick up the Beyond Meat and you look at the ingredients, and I'm telling you, the ingredients are that long. They are about 12 to 15 inches long when you scroll down and begin to read all this stuff. What's in this stuff is, if you think that's healthy, that alternative, what is in Beyond Meat, is healthier than real meat, friends, then I don't know what to say for you. There's really not much more that I could even say at this point. But now we're not only going to have Beyond Meat, which is a whole plethora and concoction of preservatives and additives and chemicals and garbage that is you can't even pronounce. Now we're going to have in the same market eventually lab grown meat that's been grown in a lab. Now, why are they doing this? Because, guys, they have been telling us that it's not a matter of if, but when food shortages will get to the point where the average consumer cannot afford to buy meat. So you better get used to seeing this. And if you don't, and you say, well, is there an alternative, Brother Ricky, than lab-grown meat? Oh, of course there is. And the Washington Post gave us a little bit of insight into an alternative. Let me just read this. Quote, the Washington Post advised Americans this past weekend that instead of traditional seasoned dinner, which now is unaffordable for a quarter of families, here we go. Remember, I told you, here's the narrative building up to this. They should instead look to eating lab-grown meat. Nope, that wasn't mentioned. Beyond Beef. Nope, that wasn't mentioned. Ready? Instead, they should be looking into eating insects. Now, I know what you're thinking. The lab-grown meat didn't really get me that hungry. Didn't really do much for me. But man, when you said that we should get used to eating insects, I know your mind went to cockroaches and grasshoppers and crickets and mealworms and night crawlers and redworms. And I'm telling you, I can just see you salivating right where you're at. Just control yourself. Don't go get a snack yet. I'm not done with the podcast yet. We got to get through this article. In the article headline, Salted Ants. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry. I left out ants. What was I thinking? I mean, that's, you know. So there is ants for you guys. You're like, the crickets don't do much for me. The mealworms, the night crawlers, the cockroaches. And you say, cockroaches, really? Yeah. You know, there was a story out that said you can get some wonderful milk out of milking cockroaches. And you say, well, I don't even know how to milk a cow. How am I going to milk a cockroach? I don't know, but you better get used to it because your almond milk is not going to work for you anymore. Your coconut milk, your cow's milk is going to be probably not an option for you anymore. So you better get used to, you better find somebody with little bitty fingers and get the artwork of milking a cockroach so you can have milk for your cereal. In an article headlined Salted Ants, this is the Washington Post that posted this, ground crickets, why you should try edible insects. The Post stated, quote, consumers can already find foods like salted ants on Amazon. Don't go there yet. Let me finish the podcast. I know there's a high demand for it, but just if you can have some reservation, control yourself, because don't just add salted ants to your cart. But you can also go to Amazon and look up cricket powder protein bars. You can get them at Swiss grocery stores. That's right, cricket powder protein bars. Doesn't that sound just delicious? I mean, look, if you can't get your kids to get protein in, here's your option, folks. The piece quoted a six-year-old girl in Pennsylvania who was supposedly given a standing ovation by onlookers for eating fried worms. The piece states, quote, it's not that bad, she exclaimed. Quote, it kind of tastes like kettle corn. Fried worms. Now, look, I'm in the South. I'm in Georgia. And we got a little bit of a joke here as Southerners. And we say, we in the South, you fry everything. So how about it, guys? Fried worms? Are we going to add that to Thanksgiving dinner? We're going to add that. Oh, it's too late. Okay, well, we got Christmas dinner coming up. We've got, what about those potlucks on Sunday morning? I'm telling you, you could put them out there, have all the church folks around, and you could have fried worms. They taste like kettle corn. Let me read on here. The article actually went further and said, quote, before insects can become common fare, more diners must be convinced that six-legged critters are in fact food through tasting experiments, surveys, and educational demos. Researchers, entrepreneurs, and educators are delving into consumer psychology and finding that resistance to insect eating can be strong. You think? This was written from the Washington Post, friend. This, now look, just from that paragraph, I can tell you, don't be surprised if this Super Bowl, you turn on and you start watching the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked if one of the commercials is a, quote, education demo or some type of infomercial that is gearing and conditioning us to consume insects as normal. Now, look, I know what you're saying. I can already hear it. Well, Brother Ricky, if you go outside of America and you go to third world countries, this is normal. And they eat crickets and they eat mealworms and they eat these things. And it's not that big of a deal. Why is it such a big deal in America? Because I live in America. I don't live over there. Okay? So I'm just saying, there's a reason why I live here. I am an American. I have the freedom to eat what comes from an animal, not from a laboratory, not from a concoction of a bunch of crap that I can't even understand, read, or comprehend, or from a buffet table of roaches and crickets and mealworms and night crawlers. I'm just saying. This is the latest and growing trend of pushing bug eating on the masses as a way of, and here it all boils down to, ready, in efforts to save the planet. So if you don't start getting an appetite for eating bugs, then you're just one of those resistance. You're one of those who have a resistance to saving the planet. Now, I hope that makes you feel real bad because you wasn't willing to experiment, and that fried worm didn't do anything for you, and the cricket protein bars and the cockroach milk, none of that stuff just did anything for you. Maybe we should just give you the guilt trip that you are contributing by refusing to eat this. You're contributing to not saving the planet. Now, how are you going to sleep tonight? A major supermarket chain in the United Kingdom is already finalizing plans to stock insects on its shelves and market them as a, quote, cheap food source for people struggling to afford to feed their families amid soaring inflation and the cost of living crisis. I mean, is this stuff going to actually be cheaper than vegetables and fruits? Because I'm just saying, I had much rather become a full-blown plant-based eater, vegetarian, than eat this stuff. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I'm just saying. I find it hard to believe that a side salad is going to be cheaper than cricket powdered protein bars and cockroach milk. Potential products in the range include sustainable cricket burgers. Come on, guys. We got to add this to our 4th of July cookouts, Memorial Day cookouts, Labor Day cookouts, outings, celebrations, birthday celebrations, cricket burgers. And you say, well, I'm not really into burgers. Well, we got alternatives for you. Hold on. You can also make cricket nuggets. If you're like me, I've got kids and they love chicken nuggets. Guys, we've got an alternative. We've got cricket nuggets. I mean, cricket nuggets. Now, even the supermarket is involved with a TV game show in which insect farmers will pitch the bugs as the, quote, next big thing for Aldi, according to a recent report. Recently, Canadian company The Aspire Food Group pledged to produce 9,000 tons of insects per year for human and pet consumption after completing construction of the world's largest cricket food processing center. In addition to crickets, worms and maggots are also big in Europe. So, folks, listen to me. Is anybody else out there seeing what's going on? Things are getting so bizarre, so weird, and so abnormal that if you actually, let me just get real here for a second. I hear a song every now and then, because remember, I was born in 1977. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I did not get saved until the year 2000. So I am very familiar and acquainted with all kinds of 80s. I would say late 80s, mid 80s, 90s music. And I'm talking about pop music, R&B, hip hop, rap, country, contemporary artist, all that, rock. Hard rock. I just love music in general. And before I got saved, I listened to all that. So I'll be out to this day. I'll be out at a grocery store. Or I'll be out at a restaurant, or I'll be out here, and they will play certain music, and immediately I get nostalgia. Now I know what you're thinking. You know, oh, you're thinking of an old girlfriend or the times when you used to live in the world. No. When I hear a song in the late 80s or in the 90s, I start getting nostalgia because it starts reminding me of when the world used to be normal, when everybody didn't get offended about everything and didn't get offended about every person. They knew who they were. They knew their genders. They knew their, come on, they knew where they were going, where they were coming from. They didn't have something glued to their ear. They didn't have their face buried in a tablet or in their phone. They wasn't always on social media. Come on. It was a time when we actually could go into stores and we could shop and we could find things that would be in stock and we could try on clothes. We could buy them. You didn't have to order it online. It was a time when we could go to movie theaters. You had Blockbusters. Come on, our kids don't know nothing about that. The nostalgia of when life was normal. Because maybe I'm the only one. I'm out here in an island somewhere, but I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of amens are coming from the audience today when start talking about this. I don't want to use the word depressed, but it starts bothering you when you begin to look back. Maybe you pull up old videos or old clips or old pictures of what life used to be before all this nonsense. And we sit around and we reminisce I remember our grandparents used to talk about the good old days. I get it. Now I got a 14-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I'm like, you kids you don't even know how simple it seemed to me that life was even in the 80s and 90s. I do not like the world we are living in and where it's going. Now, I know, listen, my hope, let me close with this. My hope is not in this present world, because the Bible says that this world and the fashion of this world is passing away. Paul said, we are citizens, not of this world. We are in this world, but not of this world. Thank God. Because if this was all that we had to look forward to and live with, that, my friends, would be depressing. But my hope is in the scriptures that tells us, and the words of Jesus Christ saying that there is a new heaven and a new earth coming, who is going to be ruled and reigned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to put an end to all this nonsense. But I know in the meantime, we've got to live on this earth, and we got to be, the Bible calls us sojourners. We are citizens of this world that is passing away. So what do? We get in the Word. We stay in the Word. We stay prayed up. We stay in His presence so that, watch this, so that this, when we see this stuff happening, we know, according to Luke 21:28, He said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up, hold up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And that's what I want to leave you with today. So I hope that you've enjoyed. Listen, if you like Talking Points podcasts like this today, please don't forget to subscribe. Hit that like button. Follow us on Rumble, on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're all over the place. We're on Instagram. You can follow us, like us in there. But the one way and the best way to keep up with our ministry is download our free app. And you can get that today by going to the Apple Store or Android Store, depending on what device you have. Download it today. Get it free into your hand. Hit yes to push notifications, and that you can be notified of every headline and every podcast when it's available. And as always, we want to give you the opportunity. Our ministry, we do not push product. We don't push subscription fees. We don't charge you for the app. Everything is absolutely free. What we do is ask if this ministry is a continual source of information, revelation, equipping, and blessing to you and your family. You can show your way of support by partnering with us. You can become a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app at the bottom, or you go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can go there and you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as always, guys, we thank you for coming on the broadcast today. Listen, we're going to sign off for today. We will not be here tomorrow on Wednesday. We take off on Wednesdays, but we, Lord willing, will be back on Thursday with another great broadcast in which we will either bring encouragement or information that will bless you and your family. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.